We're still studying in the book of Romans, and this morning we're looking at Romans chapter 5. And I want to read, beginning with verse 1, Romans 5, 1. And we'll be looking at verses, some thoughts in verses 2 through 5 this morning. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. On last Sunday, by way of review, we were looking at the grace of God in the life of a believer. And we will be confirming that this morning, that the grace of God is the power of Christ. It's the strength that we operate under. Without the grace of God, we have no strength. We have no power. If we're operating apart from the grace of God, we're operating in the flesh. Any works done in the flesh simply produce wood, hay, and stubble. And when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, the wood, hay, and stubble will burn, and the gold and the silver and the precious stones, works done according to His way and in His power, will stand the test. And so I'm here to encourage all of us to serve God in a way that will bring honor and glory to Him and good and profit to us. I tell you, I want to be a good and faithful and a profitable servant. I want to do more than that which is my duty to do. Because if all I do is my duty to do, I'm considered an unprofitable servant, and I'm not going to like the blessings that will be mine. Because that's just the way it is. The Lord wants us to do more. What He wants us to do more is this, is to live by faith. Live trusting Him. And to do that which is our duty to do is to be obedient to His commandments, the things that we are not to do, to be just, in other words. So in verse 2 of Romans 5, it says, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. It takes the grace of God for us to stand. It takes the grace of God for us to boast and to rejoice in the hope of glory. What is the hope of glory? The hope of glory is not our salvation. The hope of glory has to do with His coming kingdom and glory. The hope of glory is to rule and reign. I don't hope I'm saved. I know I'm saved. And some people may think that that's boasting. But you know, I did what the Bible said to do, to be saved. And you know what? I believe what the Scriptures tells me. I have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I have been born into the family of God. But my hope has to do with something that's beyond salvation. The hope of glory. The hope of standing in His presence approved. The hope of joining Him in His throne of glory to rule and reign with Him. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, it says, as you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that you walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. Many are called and few are chosen, have nothing to do with salvation. The calling is to many to rule and reign with Him, to His coming kingdom. And he says, we exhorted you and we continue to exhort you. The word comforted is really not a very good translation of the word paraklesis, which means to continue to exhort and charge every one of you that you walk worthy. You know, just being saved does not mean you are that you will walk worthy of the Lord. Now, there are a lot of people that want to teach you that if you're saved, you can't help but walk a worthy walk. But that's not true. David, in part of the time in David's life, he wasn't walking worthy of God, even though he was a man after God's own heart. He was a liar. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. And yet, when you read 2 Chronicles, that sin is no longer mentioned against David because he confessed that sin. Sin confessed will not be chargeable. So the calling is unto his kingdom and glory. That's what the hope of a believer is. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, who by him, that is Jesus Christ, do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and given glory by the Father. And because we were able to witness through the Scriptures the life of Jesus Christ, he came to do the will of the Father. He says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That's a worthy walk. And if I pattern my life after him, then I can have hope that God will raise me from the dead and allow me to share in that glory in that coming kingdom. In 1 Peter 5:10, it says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory — it would be better to translate the word eternal, age, or age-lasting glory — by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Notice that it takes suffering to enjoy the blessings of the age-lasting glory, or the glory during the millennial kingdom. This word eternal, let me just, I know that there are new ears in our midst this morning. The word eternal comes from the Greek word aion. It's singular in number. So, the correct translation of the word age, or aion, is age. And this is talking about a particular age. And the only age that we're looking forward to is the millennial age, where Christ will rule and reign. And one thing you find in studying the Scriptures is that when the Scriptures express eternity, it does it in a very unique way. It expresses it from the ages unto the ages. It takes the word age and it makes it plural, and it uses it twice. From the ages unto the ages. That is eternity. And here we're talking about a single age of glory, and it's a reference to the millennial age, the millennial kingdom. Okay? But notice that after you have suffered a while, make you perfect or complete, establish, strengthen, settle you. You know, if you suffer for things that you've done that are not right or not pleasing the Lord, you can change, and you probably will change, or your heart will become harder. But I just think about being complete and established. In other words, you're going to say, look, I know that this is not the right path to be on. This is not the right way of life for me. So therefore, I'm going to establish my course. I'm more likely to. And then you're going to be strengthened by his grace, and you're going to be settled. You're not going to be a double-minded man. And so anyway, he has called us unto the glory for the age, and it's by Christ Jesus. One thing about grace, he is the God of all grace. And one thing that we need to do with grace is to let grace be in charge. Last Sunday we talked about the throne of grace. We have a high priest that we can come to that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And because he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, he can provide the strength that we need to meet the necessities of our infirmities. But it's referred to as the throne of grace. What does a throne represent? A throne represents authority. It represents power. And we know that all power has been given to Jesus Christ in heaven and in earth. So when we go to the throne where our Lord is, our high priest, we know that he has power that we need. And we need to, according to Romans 5:21, grace is to reign. Grace is to be in charge. Throughout the Pauline epistles, you find grace and peace, grace and peace. What I have determined is this: when grace is operative, you know what I have? I have peace. When grace isn't working in my heart and my life, I don't have peace. I'm stressed out. So how do I know when I'm operating in grace? When I have the peace of God in my heart. And that should be the clue or the authority in my life to know that I'm pleasing God when I have peace. So grace is to reign. And notice that grace is to reign through righteousness. Now, I don't associate this righteousness with imputed righteousness. Because if this is imputed righteousness, then I know that grace is reigning all the time. And because grace would be reigning all the time, I would have peace all the time. And I know from experience that that's not true. This righteousness has to do with right living, being just, pleasing God, doing what we know is right. And for grace to reign is that we need to be living in a worthy walk with the Lord. And if that's true, we're going to have age-lasting life, or life in the millennial age by Jesus Christ. One of the things that we need to keep in mind is this, is that our hope is set on the coming millennium. That's where we are to be focused, because that's where rewards will be experienced. That's where loss of rewards will be experienced. And so when you talk, why the King James translators translated the word eternal. They actually went into the Latin Vulgate and pulled out a word out of the Latin Vulgate that means eternity or eternal, and they translated it from that word. They did not translate it from the Greek. The word eternal is not translated from Greek at all. In fact, in classical Greek, that is, if you go to Greece today and you ask somebody over there that speaks the language, what is the word for eternity? They will use from the ages unto the ages. There's no single word for eternity in the Greek language today. So, anyway, we're to let grace reign, and if grace is reigning in our life, we're doing it His way, and we're going to rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom in the millennial age. We're going to have a life that we're going to like. Everybody has a life, okay? And sometimes we don't like the life we're living. The quality of life is not good. But if we are pleasing God and we have been rewarded, we're going to like the quality of life that we will live in the millennium. Jesus Christ is honor and glory and power, and if we are qualified to rule and reign with Him, we will have honor and glory and authority over the nations. And we will like that. Rather than being in prison or being beat with many stripes. Remember that servant that didn't do his Lord's will? He was beaten with many stripes. All those that enjoy being beaten, raise their hand. Well, I better put mine down. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that we will be beaten, literally, but I can relate to the fact that I don't like to suffer pain. And whether the pain is literal or emotional pain, I think, is probably more severe than just a licking, because a licking will go away, but your thoughts don't go away very quickly. Okay. Now, in Romans chapter 3, or 5, verse 3, we have a reference to tribulation. And not only do we glory, and or not only are we seeking the hope of glory, or rejoicing in the hope of glory, not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. tribulation, trials, testings. In John 16:33, Jesus was teaching his disciples when he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." Grace is working, you will have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I don't look at this overcoming the world as victory over the world, because you know what? I've still got tribulation. He hadn't beaten the world so that it doesn't bother me. But you know what he is saying here? In the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I know the way to overcome the tribulation of the world. I have overcome the world and the tribulation that it will provide. And we need to know how to do that. We need to have victory over testing and trial in our life today. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we have a reference to the definition of grace. And he said unto me in verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me." Isn't it something? We glory in our strength, but God is blessed and honored when we glory in our infirmities. Why? So that the power of Christ can rest upon me. So that His grace can be upon me. Therefore, Paul says in verse 10, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. I take pleasures in reproaches. I take pleasures when I have needs. I take pleasure in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am meek, I am strong by His grace." We can glory in that because His grace is sufficient. And these are things that we're going to have in the world, even though Jesus Christ has overcome the world. What Jesus Christ is telling us, that I know how to satisfy you in times of infirmities, reproaches, necessities, and persecutions, distresses. I've got the answer to help you to also overcome these difficulties in your life. In Ephesians 2:8 is a passage of Scripture that I think is tradition has simply taken away the blessing out of it. I use the Young's Literal Translation in this passage, in the outline, so that you can see something it's hidden in the King James. It says, "By grace ye are, having been saved, through faith, and this not of you, of God the gift." That's the way the Young's Literal Translation gives it. And what I see in this verse is that by grace, through faith, because we just got through reading in Romans 5:1 that we access grace by faith. And it's by grace through faith that we endure. You see the verb "ye are"? There are other passages in the parables, like the parable of the sower. That verb is also translated endure or dureth. And it's by the grace of God that we endure. It's by the grace of God that we have victory over the troubles in the world. And so, who is he talking to here? He's not talking to lost people to tell them how to get saved. He is talking to those that have been saved. That means that they were saved in the past and that salvation continues to the present. And so therefore, he's saying, you're saved? You want to endure? How do you do it? You do it by the grace of God. And how do you get that grace? By faith. You don't lather up grace. It's a gift from God, and you get that grace by faith. In other words, what you do is that what I do by faith is I go to the throne of grace and I ask Him for it. That's how you do it. You ask Him for it. And what you're doing is you're telling Him that I believe He's got it and He'll give it if I ask Him for it. That's faith. I don't see it, but I know it's there. I don't see the throne, but I know it's there. And so I go to it. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, this glorying in afflictions and testings and trials, it works for us. It helps us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 17. For which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And I think that our inward man is renewed day by day by the grace of God. Because what do we do when we lay down to sleep? We're renewing the outer man, really, because that's what sleep works on. But where do we get the strength for the inner man? We get it from the grace of God. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And actually, this word eternal is the same word that we've been talking about. It's glory for the age, the coming age. And so why are we enduring the light affliction? Because of the glory that's coming in the millennial age. The honor and glory that we will receive when we hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and enter into the joy of the Lord. Now, Paul and Barnabas were missionaries, and they were going through the cities that they had been in and encouraging them in Acts chapter 14. It says, "When they," that is Paul and Barnabas, "had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to what? Continue in the faith. Without faith, it is impossible to do what? Please Him." So what was he encouraging them to do? You keep on pleasing God. Don't quit pleasing God. And not only that, use that faith. It's another place he exhorts us to continue in His grace. But we use that faith for grace. But he goes on, "Continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God." Entering the kingdom of God is not getting saved. When I'm born from above, I get to see the kingdom. And there's a difference between seeing and entering. To enter the kingdom of God is to become part of the Lord's cabinet. He is King of what? Kings. He is Lord of lords. I want to be a king and I want to be a lord. If I'm a king, I've entered into the activities of ruling and reigning with the Lord in His coming kingdom. That's entering the kingdom. I can buy a ticket to a football game, but I'm not qualified to enter that game. I would probably be killed on the first play. But you know what? If I've worked out, if I've disciplined myself, if I practice, if I've walked worthy of the Lord, I will rule and reign in His kingdom. I will enter into the activities of ruling and reigning in the coming kingdom. And you know what? To enter the kingdom, it's through tribulation, trouble. We were talking this morning in Sunday school about the message we preach here. We're preaching and teaching the Word of God. And the phrase, "the Word of God," is a reference to the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And did you know that the preaching and the teaching of that message will one day be a capital offense? A capital offense. Because when you read in Revelation chapter 20, they were beheaded for the Word of God. And so therefore, if you're coming here, I don't think we're going to be here when that happens, but you know what I'm saying. The devil doesn't like this message, and eventually the devil is going to convince the world that anyone that teaches and preaches and believes this deserves to die. Because you know what this message is teaching? It's teaching people to live a godly life in a way to please God. And you know what? The devil doesn't like that at all. Okay, let's continue. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, we are exhorted in tribulation. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort. The word comfort here is not a very happy translation. This is paraklesis. Para means being alongside, and klesis means to, it comes from the word kaleo, meaning to call. He is the God of calling or being alongside of us, calling us. I look at it sort of like at a track meet. The coach is where? He's in the sidelines coaching the track runner. And he is telling me either speed it up or slow it down. And he is alongside calling out the exhortations on what to do and what not to do. It says, who exhorteth us, and by the way, this is in the present tense, it's a continuous thing, it's not an event, exhorting us in all of our tribulations that we may be able to exhort them that are in any trouble. Did you know that we are to be used by God to exhort others that are struggling in trouble and testing and trial? Why? Well, we've been through that. We know that the grace of God will sustain you. And so therefore I'm going to encourage you to continue in His faith and to continue in His grace and to let grace reign. He continues on, by the exhortation wherewith we ourselves were exhorted of God. The word comfort in this verse should all be translated to exhort, exhortation. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, and by the way, the word abound is in the present tense, just hang on. If you've been suffering a while and you get a little relief, it's coming again. It's coming again. You know, when you look at the kings of, like King David and King Saul, there were times when they had rest from the enemy, and there were times when he was bringing on the enemy, stirring up trouble. Well, he does that for us too. Because you know what? That tests our faith. That helps us to know where we are when it comes to time and trouble. Are we going to God? Or are we working out this thing ourselves? I just think about King Asa. King Asa had a bad case of athlete's feet. He spent a lot of dough, a lot of money on physicians. Now, I'm not trying to say that you don't go to the physician, okay? But what King Asa did was he did not even consult with the Lord about his problem. And you know what? He died from, I'm saying athlete's feet, whatever was wrong with his feet, it took his life. That's the point. And we need to be encouraged to go to the Lord to solve our problems. In 1 Thessalonians, solve our troubles. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 gives us a little different perspective on this as well. And Paul says, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you, to exhort you concerning your faith. Faith is not an event, by the way. Faith is not a verb, but faith is a noun. It's a principle of which we live. So concerning your faith, that no man should be moved with these afflictions. The church in Thessalonica was having problems. And afflictions sometimes cause us to move, to change, to accuse God, to blame God. Now, why did God do this? Why did God allow this to happen? I don't deserve this. If you ever get to that point in your life, you need to make some changes. You need to make some changes in your attitude about that, because we're not to be moved with afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Isn't that interesting? This is, when you've got trouble, God's not surprised. This is just an appointment. It's just an appointment. We need to know that. Did you know that? If you know that, you think that will help you endure the trouble? Absolutely it will. It does me. God, I know that God made this appointment for me, and, you know, back surgery. Once is not enough. Let's do it again. Two back surgeries. Second one was a whole lot easier. Thank the Lord for that. Anyway, for verily, Paul verse 4 says, verily, when we were with you, we told you before that ye should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. We told you it was going to happen, and it did. And I can say the same thing for all of us. We're all going to have trials and testings in life. How are we going to handle them? Are we going to handle them knowing that God is in charge? And God has the power to help us to endure it? He may not deliver us from it. He may not. He can, but He may not do that. And usually He doesn't. He lets us endure it because He wants to strengthen and settle us and perfect us. And the only way that that can happen is to experience the difficulties in your life. 2 Thessalonians 1:4 and 5. So that we ourselves glory in the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. Your persecutions and tribulations is a manifest token of the righteous decisions that God is making for you. You know what? When you're having troubles and trials and testings, what is He doing? He is preparing you to rule and reign with Christ. Because it says right here that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. And if you don't endure testings and trials properly, you may not be worthy of ruling and reigning with Christ. You need to apply His grace, and you need to do it daily. Okay? Now, in Romans chapter 5, verse 4, it says patience, experience, and experience hope. Patience is a word that means to abide under. Hupomone. Now, I am like the rest of you. When I'm in trouble, I don't like hupomone. You know what hupomone means? I am to abide under what? The test. I am a wiggler. You know what I want to do? I want to wiggle out of the problem. You know what God wants us to do? Stick it. Stick with it. Learn what's got to be learned out of this situation in life. Quit trying to wiggle out. God will be honored and glorified if He brings you through it rather than us wiggling out of it. Okay? Because He says here, patience, that is staying under, abiding, enduring, is going to provide approval. This word experience comes from the Greek word adokomos, meaning approval. Blessed is the man that endureth testings and trial, for when he is approved, he shall receive the crown of life. You know what? Crowns go for those that are going to rule and reign. If you have no crowns, you're going to be a servant and not a sovereign. Okay? Now, and approval, hope. I hope that I will stand one day in His presence approved. And if I have more hope, I'm going to do more to make sure that I'm going to stand in His presence approved. Okay. Now, whatsoever things were written in Romans 15:4, whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort or exhortation of the Scriptures, might have hope. Patience is endurance and exhortation of the Scriptures. In other words, it's through the Scriptures that we learn that it pays to endure. And it pays to be exhorted with them from the Scriptures. Colossians chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. That we walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. God wants us to not become stagnant in the learning of the Scriptures. We need to be studying the Scriptures. And it will strengthen us with all might according to his glorious power, that is his grace, unto all patience, endurance, long suffering, that's forbearance and fortitude. And we can do it how? Joyfully. I'm trying to think of a good word to counter, to say the opposite of that, but let's just put it like it is. We can do it with joy. Now, there are times when we have to say, I count it all joy, because when you're hurting, yeah, that's all you can do. You can count it all joy. When I was passing a kidney stone, I had to count it all joy, though I'm not sure I was thinking about the joy of the Lord in passing a kidney stone. But anyway, now, in 1 Timothy 6:11, it says, But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and endurance, and meekness. As a man of God, I need to learn and to pursue stickability, endurance. As a man of God, I need to have that in my life. And Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We're to run with patience, that is endurance, the race that is set before us. Others have done it. The cloud of witnesses is in chapter 11. They ran the race and they won the prize. And we need to do the same thing. And how do we do that? We need to be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, of our ability to please God. And He is our high priest. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. I put this verse in here because I want you to know that we need to add to our faith endurance. Faith is important, but we need to learn to endure. So, what does hope, what will hope do for us? We will not be dishonored if our hope is strong. And I think that's what we're seeing in verse 5. And hope that maketh not ashamed, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. What does the love of God stimulate us to do? The Lord says, if you love me, you'll do what? You'll keep my commandments. Absolutely. You keep His commandments and you live by faith, you're not going to be embarrassed. You're not going to be naked. It's the shame of your nakedness that's going to cause embarrassment at the judgment seat of Christ. And there's going to be a plenty of God's kids that are naked, and it says they're going to walk naked. There will be no streaking in heaven. Shame is not brief. That's what I'm saying. The shame of disobedience, the shame of not pleasing the Lord, will not be brief. Why do you think people streak naked? They don't want to be seen very long. They don't want the shame very long. So what do we need to be doing? Well, we need to endure to the end. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be delivered. The word saved here can carry the idea of deliverance. And if we're hated of all men, we're going to have tribulation. And we need to endure that. And if we endure that, God is going to deliver us when He is ready. We need to know that. When He is ready. So what do we need to be doing? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 beginning. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of endurance, that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And what is the promise? It's the reward of the inheritance. And because that's what we're looking for. We will receive the reward. That's the promise. That's what we're looking for, the promise. What has He promised us? He has promised us life for the coming kingdom, coming age. So Paul told Timothy, if we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, what does it mean to deny Him? It means we don't endure. We quit. It's easy to quit. And God will reward those who will diligently seek Him and finish the race. And let me just say this. The last verse says, He also will deny us, because He's not going to deny Himself. What He said, He's going to keep it. And if we deny Him, He will deny us what? The reward of ruling and reigning with Him. May God help us to see the perspective of what it means to endure. There are rewards, there's honor and glory of hearing a well done, thou good and faithful servant, and entering into the joy of the Lord is to rule and reign with Him. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Father, we just thank You for the Scriptures that open unto us the encouragement to continue faithfully to serve You and to honor You and to do it Your way and to please You by faith, by responding to things that we cannot see but we know that are real because the Scriptures reveal it to us. Thank You for what You have given us so that we can please You. Bless these thoughts to each of our hearts this morning. May we stand approved in Your presence. May it glorify You, Father and the Son, for these things we ask and pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.